You're listening to Make It Thrive, the company culture podcast. I'm your host, Lizzie Benton, company culture coach and founder of Liberty Mind, and I want to inspire people to create progressive company cultures where our human potential can thrive. In this podcast, I talk to organizations, thought leaders, and change makers about the impact of company culture. Together, we can make it thrive. This year, Make It Thrive is supporting Teal Around the World, one of the biggest conferences dedicated to the Teal philosophy. With around 5,000 participants since it first started, Teal Around the World brings together keynote speakers, practical workshops, and storytelling sessions, gathering experienced pioneers and thought leaders like Frederick Laloux, Jos and Thijs de Blok, Gary Hamel, Doug Kirkpatrick, Daniela Lander, and Ricardo Semler, sharing their stories based on practical experiences ranging from startups to huge corporations. Thanks to Teal Around the World, attendees have been empowered to start a change within themselves and their spheres of influence. Now, entering a new era, Teal Around the World would like to bring inspiration to real life. The best part being real connection, building relationships, and creating a network of possibilities. In 2025, Teal Around the World will adopt a hybrid format. Global hubs in different locations all around the world will host local keynotes and storytellers live on stage. This conference will give a chance for participants to experience hands-on workshops in small groups, short speaker reflection sessions, holistic and out-of-the-box experiences, whilst having people from other parts of the globe join virtually. If you'd like to know more, please check out their website in the show notes or consider donating to their crowdfunding page. We hope you'll join us on a venture to change the world. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Make It Thrive as I officially launch season 12. And I still can't quite believe that I am now in season 12. I don't know how that happened, but there is still so much more to come because sometimes I just can't fit everything into one season and the ideas just keep coming. So if you do have an idea or a topic for a season, I would love to hear it so that I can keep each season as fresh as possible. Now, as you probably know by now, hopefully, if you're a regular listener, you'll know that each season has its own theme. So generally speaking, every season that I launch has a thread that runs throughout. And this season, the thread is making the intangible more tangible. So what I wanted to do in this season was really to dive deeper into topics or areas that we often hear discussed or vocalized in company culture, but we don't really have many tangible approaches or practices as to what that actually means and how do we manifest what that is. So in this season, I've really wanted to tap into certain elements that are very present within our cultures, but how do we actually make them a bit more practical and actionable and less theoretical? So for example, I'm not going to give too much away. In this season, I wanted to look at creativity and also around false harmony, you know, when we're at the work in the workplace and feeling like there's an elephant in the room, how do we kind of talk about that? But we pretend that everything's okay. So false harmony was a topic that I wanted to really cover as well. And then also things like abundance mindset, because we do tend to have such a lack mindset within our organizations, that very competitive nature. And then also ego at work. So that's just a teaser of a few of the episodes coming up. I don't want to spoil too much because I want you to fully embrace and enjoy every episode. And obviously certain ones will resonate with you. It's not, you know, you don't have to listen to every single episode that's in this season because there might be specific ones that you particularly resonate with. So that's a little bit of context around what this season is about and what you can expect. But like I said, if there is any themes or topics that you want to hear discussed or delved into, then please, by all means, please do reach out, because I love hearing from you. So whether you connect with me on LinkedIn or reach out to me via email, do let me know what you're in the mood for and really desiring. And maybe there's something that's just not spoken about in culture that you feel needs to have its spotlight moment. So that's me introing season 12. What I want to kind of share next is, I suppose, a combination of news and other updates from my world, and to kind of share what I've been working on, things that have been inspiring me, events that have been making me think differently and really stimulating lots of interesting conversations. So let me open the door to my world for a brief moment as I kind of share some of the things that have been going on. It's very rare I talk a lot on my podcast because I get so obsessed by my guests and what they are saying, and I just love listening to their wisdom and their expertise and the practicality they bring into things. So I tend to try to make sure that I'm a quiet host and really make sure that my guests have that their moment to really express everything that they know about in their zone of genius. But for a moment in this introduction episode, I thought I would open the door to my world and share some of the things that have been really stimulating me recently and things I've kind of been working on. So let me dive into a few of these things. The first piece of maybe personal or work-related news is that I have finally updated my popular ebook, How to Build the Company Culture You Really Want. I will link it in the show notes. This book I created back in 2018 when I first started Liberty Mind, because I wanted it to be a handbook for those who are working inside a company culture and really need some kind of advice or guidance in how to start from the ground up. What are some of the things that you can do to start initiating some positive change? So my thinking behind it was always for it to be a handbook and a very clear, maybe even simplistic guide as to some of the things that you might be able to do. Now, obviously, this was written originally in 2018. And since then, I have gone through so much learning and growth and experiences myself, and the whole world has changed in that short amount of time, 6 years. It's not really very long. So I decided that I would rewrite this book and really make it more relevant to today. So there are a few things that I took out of that book and that I've also added in. So it has been a very cutthroat process rewriting this book, just because I felt like there were elements of it that were no longer relevant or were maybe being interpreted in the wrong way. And there were elements that I feel needed to give it more grounding. So I've really focused on trying to combine both some of the unseen things that happen in culture and then some of the very obvious operational things that we see in culture. In terms of what I've taken out, I think one of the biggest elements that I've taken out is actually well-being. So previously in the book, I did include a chapter on well-being in company culture, and also benefits. So actually there's two here. I briefly mentioned benefits in the updated version, but there was much more of a heavy chapter on benefits. But the reason I've taken out well-being, and this could be quite controversial, is because I believe that a good company culture, its outcome should be great well-being. So if you have a strong, positive, healthy company culture, then surely the outcome of that should be that your team are well and healthy and less stressed and we're not placing them in a toxic environment. So I really got a bit fed up maybe of hearing about all these well-being programs and initiatives that were trying to help people be less stressed at work or to be more resilient or whatever it was. And actually, I don't like the premise that well-being is an individual's problem, when in reality, it's an outcome of the system. So much of the way that we work and the way that we have created workplaces ultimately causes stress. So what we have to do is change the system in order to get a different outcome. Because these kind of well-being programs, these incentives, these initiatives that get sparked, while they have good intention, they are not effective. And that is the absolute reality of the situation. So that is why I removed well-being from the book. Because if you're going to put your attention and energy anywhere, then I would tell you to avoid well-being, because everything else you do should create better well-being within your teams. So that's just my opinion. I'd be interested to hear other people's. But that's one of the chapters that I have removed from this version of the book. The other thing I've also updated in the book is a few more case studies and examples of companies doing things a bit differently. And the reason I wanted to do this is because some of the areas can feel quite difficult or challenging to approach. And I really wanted to give very clear examples of how people have approached it. And I think this is always best done in a story or an example that we can give. So that's also got updated case studies as well. But enough of me kind of plugging my book. Well, it sounds like I'm plugging my book. I'm really not. It's just that it has been the most gigantic project that has finally come to completion. And if anybody ever says to you they're writing a book or editing a book, I can safely say it's like another job. It just goes on forever. So yes, not really a plug, just that's what's been going on. I've been spending a lot of time in front of my laptop, writing away, editing away in order to make the best possible version of my book. But anyway, speaking of books, the other book that has, if you are in the mood for a new book that's going to really switch up your thinking, then I have a book recommendation. So to put this into context as to why I was recommended this book, I was getting really frustrated recently around the lack of accountability we experience in terms of the climate and environmental changes and the real kind of greenwashing that goes on consistently in so many companies and brands. And I get that sometimes the intention is totally wholehearted. I truly believe that some companies genuinely do want to do better and do good in terms of what they are providing to their customers or their consumers. But there are some companies where it is just so obvious that they are just ticking a box to pretend that they give a shit about the environment when they actually don't. And this is where I started to get really frustrated. And it's not just companies as well, right? It's local councils, the government. There's so many things that happen in our wider culture where you just think, why are people not thinking this through? By all means, I am not perfect either in terms of what I could maybe be doing better in terms of the environment. I am fully aware of those things though, and I'm doing my best. But what I don't like is the false pretense of pretending that you're doing something about it when you're not. And so, like I said, I was feeling frustrated, maybe a little bit disenfranchised and powerless to how can we challenge these companies? How can we get our power back and start doing something about this? Because we are not going to reverse climate change now. That's a reality we have to face, but there are still things that we can do. So I shared this with one of my guests Catherine Bernard. And really, we had a very deep and interesting conversation about this. Not on this episode, we talk about something different. But Kat recommended this book by Margaret J. Wheatley, Who Do We Choose to Be? And oh my goodness, this book has simply blown my mind in terms of helping me to understand how to show up in a time that feels very chaotic, very fragmented, very polarized, when there is so much change happening around us. How do we kind of navigate that as individuals, and how do we still keep connected to our humanness without starting to pull away from each other? And so this book has really changed my thinking in terms of what I can do, how I can show up. And also, I mean, there were moments in the book where I did have an existential crisis and I thought, should I be reading this? Because this is making me feel slightly more negative about the state of the world. But then we also have to be realistic. And I think once you've overcome the realism of everything and you start to connect back to your values and what you believe in and what your influence can be, then I think that's where we start to see the uplift. So if you're like me and feeling a bit fed up and disenfranchised by what you're seeing at the moment, then I would highly, highly, highly recommend Margaret J. Wheatley's book, Who Do We Choose to Be? And I will pop that in the show notes as well. The other thing that I'm doing as well, that I don't know whether I've actually mentioned this on the podcast yet. So our, or should I say my, you know, major influence in my work, obviously we talk about it a lot on this podcast, Reinventing Organizations by Frederick Lillie. You'll hear that book mentioned over and over again in so many conversations because it has had such a ripple effect in terms of how we design companies, how we change cultures. But Frederick isn't really very focused on reinventing organizations anymore because obviously it's kind of become its own entity. It's got its own life force now. There are so many people spearheading the work of reinventing organizations that Frederick doesn't need to always be in the spotlight. So he started a new project called The Week, which is a documentary series, a community project where you watch these three documentaries about the environmental change and learn again, what can we do? How can we show up in this time? So that is something I have planned with a group of people and I will let you know how it goes. So we plan to do it in April because again, it's just another thing that we can become more educated about and more aware, and hopefully we can then take some positive action and have some deep and meaningful conversations about what we can do and how we can show up. So I will let you know how that goes. If you're intrigued about all of this environmental work and how we can do more, then I will keep you posted on how it goes and what my verdict is. Now, on to something else that has really caught my attention and caught the attention of a lot of people actually over the past few months. And that is Bayer's adoption of dynamic shared ownership. Now, if any of you follow my blog and you're signed up to my newsletter, you'll know that I did a very in-depth analysis of Bayer's restructuring. So for those of you who haven't heard the news, and maybe you've been sat in a cave since January, Bayer, the global pharmaceutical company, who are originally German in origin, they have decided to adopt something called dynamic shared ownership. So they're going through a major restructuring in order to reduce bureaucracy, creates a slightly flatter hierarchy, and really enhance their innovation and entrepreneurship. Now, the amazing thing about this, so I'm going to share a little bit of my thoughts around this. Now, first of all, what we have to be aware of is that Bill Anderson, previous CEO of Roche, is now the CEO of Bayer. And now Bill Anderson is a remarkable guy, and he has been very outspoken in his belief around Thiel principles, you know, Frederick Lewis reinventing organizations. He was very forward-thinking at Roche in helping them to try and adapt to more innovative ways of working. So he really is a pioneer for doing things differently. So it doesn't surprise me that since taking on this position at Bayer, he's looked at the state of the organization and kind of gone, we need to do some serious moving around. So they're on this long journey to really start to adapt this very corporate organization into one that is far more agile and maybe some would say self-managing as well. So they've been using this term dynamic shared ownership, but essentially it really is creating greater autonomy and flattening the hierarchy and reducing the bureaucracy that often happens in corporates. Now, I'm optimistic about this Bayer restructuring for a number of reasons. First of all, many of my friends and colleagues who are heavily into self-management and Thiel progressive ways of working are working on this project. So I feel like they're in safe hands. The other thing is that they have really not held back in the support that they are getting in this adjustment. So the other person who they have hired to support them in this transition is Gary Hamel. Now, many of you may have heard of Gary Hamel, but basically he's like another godfather of reinventing work and management. So his most famous book is Humanocracy. You know, again, very much how do we create more human-centric workplaces, reduce bureaucracy? So they've also hired Gary Hamel, who is like the godfather of changing workplaces. So they have not held back in terms of any support to help them in this transition. And I think that's really important. The other thing I will mention is that if you're fascinated by this, you can actually watch the full press conference webinar on YouTube. If you just search for Bayer Dynamic Shared Ownership, you will find the YouTube video of their press conference announcing this. Anyway, I digress. So they have really invested in some help, which is fundamental to being able to go through a transition like this, especially if you're a corporate. You know, I predominantly work with startups and small businesses. So, you know, they have me to help them with their transition. But it's so interesting to me that when companies don't have any support, how quickly they will fall and then revert back to old ways of doing things. So that is why I am feeling very optimistic about this Bayer transition to dynamic shared ownership, because they are taking this seriously. They're not doing it as like an internal, we're remaining very quiet about this, you know, we're doing this intern. Like, they have said to their to the progressive work community, we need people to help us with this and we want to hire the best. So that's one reason why I'm very optimistic about this. I'm very optimistic about it as well because Bill Anderson's at the helm steering the ship. And I feel like he, you know, whenever I've seen him speak at Thiel Around the World or any of the other podcasts or YouTube videos that I've watched him on, he has just this real passion and authenticity about wanting to create a really great workplace. So I'm positive that he will lead it in a good direction. The other thing that also interests me about this is that unlike other big corporates who have tried to restructure or transition into a more agile way of working, you know, they really have a purpose at their very core of why they need to do this. I'm not sure if you've really seen much of the news about Bayer recently, but they've had some serious incidences and then their stock share dropped for a little bit. It's all available on public information and news sites like the Financial Times, etc. So they've been going through a pretty crap time. And so they need to change. This isn't one of those changes where they're going, oh, wouldn't it be nice if we were just a bit more agile? Wouldn't it be nice if we were a bit more innovative? No, this is a company who has to change. They have to change for their own good. If they are to survive in this world and create a longer legacy than they have already created, this transition has to work. They have to make some changes. So their core purpose is so deep, is so powerful. Whereas when I've seen other companies try and do this, it's either because it's a trend, like, oh, let's just be a bit more agile. That sounds like fun. It sounds like the trendy thing to do. It should never be approached as a trend or a fad. And the second part is they've used it as an excuse. I've seen, you know, there are a few brands who have used maybe self-management or types of self-management as a, should we say, a scapegoat for actually doing quite negative things in their organizations. And that's not this. You know, Bayer really do have a very deeply ingrained purpose as to why they need to change. And that's something that I'm excited to see for this journey. I'm really intrigued to continue to watch this journey, follow it. And because they have been so public about doing this, you know, holding a press conference, for goodness sake, I mean, that is a bold move. That is a really bold move, because few organizations publicly announce something like this when they're going through this. They'll sometimes just be kind of like, oh, we're trying this, and then you kind of don't really hear anything about it. So yeah, there's a lot to keep an eye out on that project, and I think it's one we should all be watching. So there we go. That was an introduction to season 12. I hope you enjoy these episodes that are on their way. As always, published every Monday morning. So do keep an eye out. Don't forget to click subscribe so that you get notified when the episodes come out. And also, if you don't mind sharing it with someone who you might think will be interested in these conversations, then please do share, and recommend to a friend. I look forward to hearing from you about how you find these episodes, and do keep your feedback coming in. Have a great week, everyone.
You've been listening to Make It Thrive, the Company Culture Podcast, with me, your host, Lizzie Benton. If you've enjoyed listening and want to keep up with all things culture, don't forget to subscribe. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to welcoming you back next week.